Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
While the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to the Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That is why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I'm your host, Len Asante, along with my co-host, Michelle, who's fiddling with the live feed for a second. We're going out live on TikTok, from what I understand. Is that right, Michelle?
Yep, we're
live. All right. So you probably can't hear Michelle, but she's
Dancing Dims.
She's ticked. If you're dancing, if you follow Dancing Dims on TikTok, you can follow us along live and in living color. All right. It is a busy day here at the Loyal Opposition. We have a lot going on. We're going to get started. We're going to be speaking with State Representative Afton Bain. We're getting her on the phone right now as we speak. While we're waiting for her to pick up, it's a couple of quick news bites. Okay, last night was Donald Trump's State of the Union address, more or less State of the Union. A couple of items of relevant to that. We found out that one of the items that's set for closure in the Elon Musk Doge plan is the Nashville Social Security office. How many seniors live in Middle Tennessee are going to be impacted by that? I can't hear a thing.
Turn down.
Afton, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Hey, how you doing there?
Excited to be here.
Okay, I know you're there, but I can't really hear you. My audience can hear me, so that is okay. As long as they can hear, that's what I count. How are things in Nashville, Afton?
Things are chaotic. We just had a Senate vote on to basically disallow and prohibit undocumented students from attending public school, and unfortunately it passed the Senate Education Committee 5-4. It was a close vote, but it's heading to the House next week.
Turn it up. All right. I do not envy you your job. Let's just put it that way. Folks, we're speaking with Representative Afton Bain, representing the Fighting 51st District of Nashville, Tennessee. And she is with us today to brief us on what's going on in Nashville. There's a lot going on in Nashville, and we've only got 15 minutes. But there are a couple of pieces of legislation, Representative, that I know you wanted to mention to us about. Can we talk a little bit about the relationship between pot and potholes?
Yeah, you and everyone else across the state. I'm so overwhelmed by the support, the outpouring of support from businesses and especially rural folks who have been watching this bill make its way through the legislature. So basically what this bill does is it legalizes the recreational sale of marijuana, taxes it at a certain percent, and 75% of the revenue generated from that sales tax goes to the highway fund to repair our roads. So it's really simple. I think Tennessee could be a leader in this, unlike a lot of our southern counterparts. And as I said, I've just received so much statewide support from both Republicans and Democrats. This is truly an issue that is a bipartisan issue that people all across the state desperately want marijuana legalization, and they want great roads because, as I say, the real border crisis is Kentucky having better roads.
Yes, true. Yeah, it's really easy to notice when you cross over the border, exactly. And it used to be, not too long ago, it used to be the reverse, you know? It used to be the reverse.
Yeah,
we used to have
exactly.
Really good roads. Okay, so pot for potholes. Also, we have got a move in the House and in the Senate to do something about the sales tax on groceries. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is a bill that Senator Charlaine Oliver, also from Nashville, and I brought forward last session. And I just want to provide some historical context is that Tennessee has seen multiple efforts to repeal the sales tax on groceries. Some legislation has either repealed the sales tax on vegetables or, you know, different line items. But overall, ours repeals the grocery tax, and it does this. It supplements the revenue, replaces the revenue by closing corporate tax loopholes, which is different than the Republicans. So Representative Elaine Davis, I forget who the Senate sponsor is, but they also have a bill to repeal the grocery tax, but they don't have any way to pay for it. And so it would cost around $700 million to $1 billion a year. And
Wow. We
just, a report debuted from the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy that if we closed corporate loopholes in the state of Tennessee, it would generate around $989 million, so almost $1 billion that we could use to repeal the sales tax on groceries. I also want to tell your listeners that Tennessee has some of the highest inflationary costs on groceries, and we know that grocery prices are not going down anytime soon, so it is really, really important that we provide support for Tennessee working families.
Yeah, that sounds like a no-brainer, I got to say. What has been in your opinion, what has been the holdup? Well, this sounds like a great idea that should have been implemented years ago. What's been the delay?
Well, it's a result of policy choices. The Republican supermajority decided to hand over $1 billion of your hard-earned tax money to the biggest corporations in this country, not even the state. The Tennessean reported that 60% of the franchise tax refunds, which was a legislation we passed last year, would go to companies out of state. And so this is it's a question of priorities. The Republican Party does not prioritize tax cuts for working families at all. Finally, we are broke. We 15 years of Republican leadership has led us to basically pulling up the couch cushions for to pay our bills, and I don't think it's going to get any better. So we're really staring down a decade of austerity, unfortunately, because of the financial mismanagement of our state.
Exactly. So it's a combination of policy choices and financial mismanagement. Interesting. Did find enough money to fund those charter schools that no one seems to want.
Yeah, that's right. They're pulling up couch cushions and, you know, billionaire-backed policies, but they're not funding tax cuts for working families. And those priorities are going to be, I think they'll become even more stark. And I don't know, you know, if your listeners are concerned about imminent changes, the mass exodus of federal employees, the firing. I think we're in for a few years of mass unemployment and really dire economic conditions, and unfortunately there's no one else to blame. Well, we know that they want to blame immigrants and scapegoat trans kids, but really it's the billionaire class and greedy corporations are the reason that we can't have a grocery tax break.
I was just reading, might have been in the Tennessean, that 4 years ago during the last tariff war, I guess more than 4 years ago now, during the last tariff war, Tennessee was one of the hardest hit states because so much of our economy is focused on international industries like the automotive industry, and they're thinking that could be the same again, which is kind of ironic considering how we vote in presidential elections, how the economic impact could disparately hurt us more than other states.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. And also a reminder that we are one of the more federally reliant states. And as I'm sure your listeners know, that President Trump has stopped the flow of resources and money into a state. And it doesn't seem like anyone is operating with a sense of urgency at the legislature right now. And in fact, perhaps the agency and department heads are avoiding hard questions, but it doesn't seem like people are really understand what is coming if we do not act and shore up not only the funding for the state of Tennessee, but also to support working families by, for example, ending the grocery tax.
Exactly. Another bill has come across my desk. I was hoping you might provide some input on. I was reading today an editorial from Holly McCall in the Tennessee Lookout talking about a bill in the state legislature that would take away the rights of immigrants to file civil lawsuits. Are you familiar with this one?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Could you talk to our listeners a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, so basically it is a right. well, the judiciary has created the ability for undocumented people to file litigation, as you should be able to, because, you know, undocumented people pay taxes. They are citizens yet by another name. I'm sure that would be argued. But inevitably what this is about is just blatant xenophobia and trying to undermine the rights of people who enter this country and are seeking refuge. And so I've been very disappointed in watching, especially the attorney, the professional class of lawyers across the state who have not decided that they want to fight this. Grateful to the ones that are, but inevitably this is just a symptom of you know, the interest in blaming immigrants for a lot of our problems that exist because of bad Republican leadership.
Exactly. It's kind of turning the coin to the other side, in a sense. And if I'm correct, and tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm correct, let's say if this bill passes, becomes law, and I am a refugee or I'm undocumented immigrant, and I say, get in a car accident, get taken to the emergency room, and have surgery, and the doctor botches my surgery, I wouldn't even be allowed to sue for malpractice, would I?
Correct. Yes.
Jeez. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, listen, we have got a couple more minutes left. Why don't we talk a little bit about some...
I have a question.
Oh, well, hey. Hey, Michelle.
Is it Michelle Harbin?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Michelle. How's it going? I love seeing your posts in the Hip Portland Facebook group.
Oh, yeah. They love me.
We're all about making friends here at the Loyal Opposition.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about the bill about education for undocumented children.
Yeah, so this is a let me start by saying, so for a long time, well, the past decade, we have been able, our side has been able to stop bad bills through the committee process. Unfortunately, the gloves are off, and what we're seeing is people like Leader Lamberth, who are attorneys, filing unconstitutional bills to basically be the Supreme Court challenge that would undo our federal constitution. And so, you know, unlike, once again, eliminating the grocery tax, legalizing pot to fill our potholes on our terrible roads, they are focused on being number one, and that's number one in filing unconstitutional bills to undermine the rights of, that already established rights of, for example, undocumented children. And so I think it was in the 80s, but anyways, there was a case that made it to the Supreme Court, and that decision was called Plyler. Which basically said that undocumented children are allowed to attend public schools. And so Leader Lamberth and Senator Beau Watson filed the legal challenge, and that's the bill that's making its way through, but it really sets a terrible precedent. And you know, the whole goal is to create a subclass of people, and I just, it's bad policy, it's bad politics, and I'm embarrassed about what's going on right now.
My thought is these people are trying to find a path to citizenship. And if they're not being educated and then all of a sudden, you know, 3 years later and they were in first grade when they get pulled from school and then they're supposed to be a fourth grader, what do? They stick them back in first grade? What does that do for our society as we are trying to keep educated citizens that are engaged and that can contribute to our communities?
Exactly. Yeah. And it sets them on a different, you know, a path of unemployment. And while they are trying to wait through our process, our immigration process, which is seriously flawed. Right. And you see groups on our side and their side calling for an immigration overhaul to expedite that process. But unfortunately, it is burdensome. And now Trump's not, you know, going to help that. So it sets a terrible precedent. It's embarrassing that this is where we are focused. Instead of helping the citizens of Tennessee, we are bullying undocumented immigrant kids who are some of the most vulnerable people in our society.
I'm with you. It's so embarrassing.
It is. It is the worst. All right. A little tidbit of good news, and if you've had any... And Afton, if you've had any help in getting HB 315 and HB 64 taken off notice for a little while, the Covenant Marriage Act and the Anti-Trans Bathroom Bill, hey... thanks for any assist you might have given on those two.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've been really, I mean, someone who's been up here for a decade, I'm really surprised when we do have wins. And so this is actually a surprise that we've had a few bills pulled off notice, and that's a testament to what is also people coming up here sharing their story, which has always been the case. But also, I think I've been seeing a lot more solidarity in terms of other groups who historically haven't touched LGBTQIA rights, really stepping up. So
that's
big thank you to everyone who has spoken out, showed up at the Capitol, and continues to show up.
Nice. All right. Hafton, thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to spend some time with us. We are just about out of time, so we're going to let you say goodbye. But hey, do remember that Sumner County has not forgotten about you, and we are proud of the work that you're doing on our behalf. And we're going to be, actually, we got a couple things going on in Sumner County in the next few months that we're going to be inviting you to. Hopefully you can join us. But meanwhile, thanks again. Keep up the good fight. And we're going to take our first break. Everyone, that was State Representative Hafton Bain of the Tennessee 51st District. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Hafton.
Bye.
Music, news, talk, and sports.
We're your station, WQKR.
At the law office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
When you're here, you're family. Some of the best Italian and American dining. Brickyard Cafe is located at 205 West Cedar Street in Franklin, Kentucky. Choose from spaghetti, chicken, steak, and pizza. Also, some of the best bread and homemade desserts to make your meal an experience to remember. Brickyard Cafe is open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Call 270-586-9080 for catering, weddings, business luncheons, and private parties. That's 270-586-9080. Look forward to seeing you soon.
How many financial advisors does it take to ruin what could have been a perfectly secure retirement? Just one. With today's market turmoils, it's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives. That's why you should always seek a second opinion with an experienced financial advisor, a fiduciary who's obligated to work with your best interest so that you're absolutely certain the tools and strategies that you're using are in harmony with your retirement objectives.
Call Investment Advisor Representatives Nathan Cox and Lindsay Cotter of Retirement Income Solutions at 833-299-1416. That's 833-299-1416.
It's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives.
That's 833-299-1416.
CEMC wants to warn its members to be on alert for scams that are targeting utility customers. Scammers are using a variety of methods, including phone calls and emails, to solicit members' credit and debit card information. If you have any doubts about the legitimacy of any call, email, or visit from someone claiming to be from CEMC, contact CEMC directly at 1-800-987-2362. Being well informed can help you avoid becoming the next victim.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Loyal Opposition. I'm your host, Len Asante, along with my co-host,
Michelle Harbin,
and we are the Loyal Opposition. Hey, didn't do that at the top of the hour,
no,
so we had to get,
had to get it in.
Exactly. Well, Michelle, looks like we've got a pretty cool guest sitting to your right today, huh?
I'm excited to learn all about her and her mission.
Good. So who do we got? Why don't you take the lead on this one?
All right. Why don't we welcome to the show Kara with the Find Design. Kara, why don't you start with telling us what the acronym FIND is?
Well, the acronym actually stands for Families in Need of Direction. Yeah,
nice.
That's what the acronym is. And so,
nice.
Yeah.
So we usually start off just asking our guests a little bit about yourself and how did you end up in the chair here at the local opposition?
Ooh, do we really want to go there? Okay, let's go.
We do. We want to go there.
Yeah, so first of all, gratitude for having me take up space today on this platform. Anytime that we can share our mission, anytime that we can bring voices to those that oftentimes don't feel heard or seen or valued, we are honored to have that opportunity. So I wanted to start there with just gratitude and thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
The gratitude, believe me, it goes both ways.
Well, thank you.
This is part of our mission here, the Loyal Opposition, is to give voice to the voiceless.
And I appreciate you answering the call and being obedient. So I am Kara James. I'm one half of the founder of the Find Design. I have the privilege and honor of serving as well as the executive director, originally from right outside of Detroit, Michigan, Pontiac, Michigan. I moved here while I was in high school. We moved to actually Columbia, Tennessee initially. So you can, if you can
Big
only...
culture change.
Yeah. Listen, I don't even think you understand.
What year was that?
This was around 96.
All of that.
So I want to paint a picture because that when you ask the question, how did I get here? That's very much part of the answer, right? So coming from a city that, you know, was everything that I saw was representative of who I was and what I could be. And so the city that I grew up really had two sides. They had a side that showed truly Black excellence. It showed like every position, teacher, lawyer, doctor, it didn't matter. I knew I could be it because I saw it in front of me. And then it had the other side of it that you saw a lot of trauma responses in the city, responding from poverty, responding from the crack epidemic, I had metal detectors back in the 90s in my school. So you really saw the responses to the trauma that the people there was facing, shutting down some of the factories and things of that nature, and I could go deep with that. And so we end up in Columbia, Tennessee, where some of our family had inherited some lands, and we moved here after my grandmother got sick. And I really think that we didn't, my mother being a single mother, my father was incarcerated, she was really trying to find a better place. I really don't think she really thought about the cultural shock that happened to go from a place where I was the majority to the place where I was the minority. And so my experience was my very existence being a Black girl in Columbia from Michigan, just me opening my mouth was disrespectful at times. We didn't grow up saying ma'am and sir, and I remember actually getting suspended for not saying that.
Wow.
Suspended. I literally felt I did not, my voice was taken completely away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stayed there.
That's scary.
It's very scary.
I think everyone in their lives should have to do what you just did.
Hmm.
Go from a place where you're the majority to a place where you're the minority, and just live in those shoes for a little while.
Yeah.
I think it tells a lot.
Extreme empaths, like I have a feeling most of us in the room are, can imagine walking in someone else's shoes, right? But for so many others, particularly our partners across the aisle, things have to smack them in the face before they realize the the feelings that someone else is having.
The privilege can be blinding to some people because it's a real experience. And so we didn't stay there long. We was going to get run out of Columbia because even though I was fighting, I was in this in-between of not knowing when to have a voice. And then anytime that you suppress your voice, get ready for an explosion.
It's going to come out.
It's going to come out one way or the other. And so that's what it did. It came out in ways of just being tired of being tired. As a little girl, not knowing why my very existence caused fear in people. You know, my very force, voice intimidated people at a young age. And so I remember being called names I had never been called before, experienced racism in a way that I had never experienced before. And it was so in my face that my mother was like, we have to get out of here. And so we may have stayed there about a year and a half, and we end up in Antioch, Tennessee, in which it was better, but it was still it was much more settled in that space. So I end up graduating from Antioch High School.
Which Antioch also has a high Hispanic population,
yes,
correct?
So yes, now they do.
More diverse.
Yeah, it was more diverse and a higher Black population. And so it was more diverse, definitely compared to Columbia, Tennessee. And so I ended up going into corporate America, really just starting off as a CSR there, really trying to figure out, I was 19, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And before you know it, I was moving up the corporate ladder, and that was not the plan. So I end up standing.
Good for you.
I end up rising up, ended up in different departments in the office of the CEO, but it was definitely something that was missing. While I was making good money,
you didn't have a purpose.
Yeah, the purposeful work was not there. Yes. And I felt an emptiness, something that money could not buy. And so I ended up meeting my co-founder there, and we got to be friends and end up working out one day. And I was like, hey, I don't know, my dream one day is just to go back and serve girls, you know, in some capacity. And we just started to talk, and never knowing that we were birthing this baby that we had birthed.
So that's your origin story.
That's the origin story.
In the gym one day.
Yeah. And so what's so crazy is it started off as like, okay, let me get out here. Maybe I'm going to be volunteering and, you know, supporting the organization. But I was really thrown off at the lack of progress we had made in this city of Nashville back in 2014. And then the spaces that were deeming themselves as safe was very Eurocentric. And it was sending an indirect message that you are broke and we need to fix you. And I had a really big problem with telling girls of color that message, that it needs to look like this to be safe, and we need to fix you because you're not, you need to be fixed. And so that indirect, the intentions may have been well, but the indirect, the lack of cultural competency and the lack of understanding showed up as the messaging. And I saw
that mentally that has a hard effect on children with developing minds when someone tells you there's something wrong with
you. Yes, yes, in indirect ways, and you don't see representation of who you are in that space. So the sense of belonging doesn't exist.
And this huge. This is an issue we've touched on before in the show, haven't we, with things like book banning and stuff like that. Kids need to see themselves represented in
Barbie dolls, and I mean all of it.
I mean, it's huge. It literally sends a message that something is wrong and you're not worthy. And so when I heard the messaging and the curriculum and their others' understanding of Black and brown culture, it was insulting. And so we started to have this conversation, and hey, here we are in 2014, launching the Fine Design as an organization.
Over a decade ago.
Yes, we celebrated 10 years of being in business. And so I had no clue it would blow up the way it did. We started in a pilot in Napier and Sudacum, which is on one of the projects in downtown. And it was funny. I remember walking into the community center and, you know, they looking at us and we looking at them like, you know, so many people had tried to do that work, and they would come there, take their pictures, pictures. Oh, look at the little poor kids, and they would leave. And
look
and
what I'm doing.
Look at the exactly.
And it was, you know,
their token volunteer.
It was very
day.
Tokenism, Drive and by. So it was very some trust issues. Like, okay, here they go, and I had my little heels on, and my co-founder had her, and they was like, they're not gonna be able to handle us, and I'm like, you don't even know who we are. Let us show you, and so we end up starting there, and we started to do workshops, and little did you know, it just started to grow, and we would have people waiting outside to come in, even males waiting at the door, and we started to get calls from schools because they saw the changes in the students, and they would be like, who are you working with? And so parents and community centers, and it really birthed the Fine Design, and within 2-3 years, we were in 11 schools.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
11 schools,
yes.
Are all those schools in Davidson County?
Yes. So okay. We have scaled back since because we went more deeper with our programming.
Okay.
As we started to get involved with the programming, girls wanted more of it. And so as we did collective healing, we started to introduce individual therapy. And so it started to deepen the program. We started to touch the girls more from a service perspective. And so we started to, we're now in 2 schools. So we went to 11, we're down to school, 2. We actually have a 21 school waiting list right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
21 school waiting list.
That's
wow.
Yes. That's amazing. What is the overall mission of the Fine Design?
I love this question. So I'll give you the official in a minute, but if I had to say it, I would say we are the joy incubators. Black and brown girls.
Love that.
That's awesome.
So we shouldn't have to be old and gray before we find joy. And
or
we
never find
or
joy.
Never find joy, right?
You ought to put that on the wall, man. Girl,
literally.
Make a sign.
And so we have saw that, and we saw that when these girls have joy, they show up in leadership roles. They show up dismantling glass ceilings. We just almost had that happen, right?
Yes.
We showed, you know, black women are the number one entrepreneurs right now. They're the number one educators right now. So what if we had a foundation of wellness and care for women that have always been unheard, unseen, and unvalued? And so the official is we provide systemic and individual trauma. We respond to that. And we do that with mentoring, introducing to therapy, advocacy, and social-emotional learning. So we really, really get to the root. And what I love about our services is that we recognize, like, what we're not going to do is just show black trauma of black girls. We want to show their resilience. We want to show what they have to navigate to just show up at school. You know, oftentimes black and brown girls are the caretakers of their home. I could tell you so many stories. And that's why we became a school-based program, is because oftentimes they could not participate in after-school programming because they were mom at home, mom to 4 and 5 kids. And I would love to share a story when we first started.
And you can share that story after we come back from
break. Let's take a break.
I love this. Kara is great.
We don't have to do any talking at all, and that's the way we like it. But we do have to take a break. We've got some bills to pay. But when we come back, we're going to hear that story from Kara James of The Fine Design.
Yes.
You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice, to assure that our loved ones will receive the necessary support to allow us to do so. At High Point Hospice, our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com. That's 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm Linus Santi, and my partner in crime off to my right here is Michelle Harbin, and we are speaking with Kara James of The Fine Design. And we interrupted her before the break. She was going to tell us a story.
A success story.
But we have not forgotten. And so we're back. And so you go, girl. Go for it.
Thank you. Let me tell you how it's going to start out, because I want to bring light to the resilience of these girls, right? And so
lived that resilience.
I did, and my ancestors did too. So that's just part of who we are. And I can go down the line with that, because sometimes we don't want to be that either, right? So we're exhausted from being resilient,
yes.
Right? The expectation is
that's
put
just
up.
Like that saying when
it's tiring.
People say, God's not going to give you anything you can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's not exhausting.
It doesn't mean it's not exhausting.
Know?
And the expectation of us being resilient. We have to show up because that's the expectation.
And don't dare show any anger.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to that. But let me tell my story real quick, because I think it's key to make sure that we bring light to this. This was very much when we had first started. And one of the girls, because of the challenges between Black communities and police, she was fearful of telling that something was going on with her. So we were trying to, report the incident that was happening with her, and she refused to. So one night, I got a call from her friend who was in the program and said, Miss Kara, she's ready to tell now. She was being violated in her home so bad that he was making her actually strip for his friends. She was 13
years
old.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I got up out of my bed and I drove. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and I went into the home of the young lady that called me. She was cooking a full course meal for her four siblings. Some of them, she was bathing them. Some of them she's in the ninth grade. She was helping them with their homework. And then she was being a friend to this sister that we called in our group that needed her support. So this is a ninth grader that is being, the mother had to work nights. And so she's cooking, she's cleaning, she's providing homework, and she's being a support system for her friend.
And when you're in ninth grade, you're what, 13, 14 years old?
13, 14 years old. And she was put in the program because of behavioral issues, as not knowing that she was staying up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning being a mother. And so we got that situation taken care of. We was able to get the person removed out of the home. But I had to tell that story, because while we're not asking what's wrong, we're just saying you're angry, as you stated, and we need to remove you and put you out of the school, or there's some penalty, instead of us asking about the anger.
The why,
and what can we do to fix the why, right?
Because most of these young girls have faced PTSD. And instead of responding with services, we are pushing them out of the school, and we are pushing them into the juvenile court system, and we're not simply asking why. So we bring light. A lot of people hear about the school, the prison pipeline. We bring light to the abuse to prison pipeline, where because of this PTSD, there's a response to that. And it, a lot of times it is unhealthy, right? Because I'm responding to my trauma and I need services, not going into a juvenile court system or going into or being suspended from school.
Where you just learn more unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Absolutely. The cycle continues. And so we have all this data that we have to show that once they get into that pipeline, what happens? It's a cycle of recidivism and reoffending and things of that nature. And so that young lady end up just getting the support, having space, getting advocacy, being able to go into the school and advocate on her behalf. She did a 360 because we were able to tell the true story, the story behind why she was responding the way that she was responding, and we were able to see a transformation.
Well,
happen.
And she probably didn't even understand why she was responding. In
absolutely.
That
right.
Well, how could you when you're 13 or 14 years old and you're thrust into an adult life?
I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I can't.
Can you imagine her doing that?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about ACE, adverse childhood experience, and how the brain hasn't completely even developed, right? And now we've added a PTSD in that development, and that we've seen all the data around what that does and the outcomes as a result of that. And so, yes, so we're able to advocate on our behalf and stand in the gap and say, let us say why. Let us give you the skills to understand the unique needs of this girl, as well as giving her coping mechanisms and services to help her maneuver the things that has happened that have happened to her.
Studies now show childhood trauma fuels mental health disorders such as ADHD, all kinds of
anxiety, depression later in life, right?
All of it. And you just think you're broken,
yeah.
And really it's a response.
Right, and we're not amplifying the resilience in that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to see just the trauma. We want to make sure that the fact that she's able to show up fully, to be able to be a sister to her friend, to be able to be a mother to these kids, and to be able to navigate a school system that does not see her. We need to make sure we show the resilience in that, to show that the rootness of that I'm able to move even when I'm tired, when I'm weak, when I'm not seen, I'm still able to show
that
up for my community, right? We
absolutely
need to celebrate.
I mean,
that
your organization is, I mean, shoot, you're solving the problem before it becomes a public problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You're before the interventions that end up making things go worse anyway, right?
Yeah.
And in the long run, you're going to have a kid who doesn't go through the juvenile justice system and who doesn't have mental health disorders later in life and instead becomes a success story. Better for everybody,
yeah.
Saves the taxpayer money, reduces the crime rate, and man, gets this girl the help she needs.
It does, because look at her nature was to caretake. So
right.
When she's well, right. When she's healthy, she's going to take care of her community. That's just in her, right? And so that's what we want to amplify. That.
How old is she now?
She is about 24, 25
wow.
Now. Yeah, because they're about the same age. And I know she looks young, but she'll be speaking in a minute. This was actually one of our first mentees or sisters, little sisters in the group, in our first program. And so she's now a board member at the organization. She now goes into the school. I'll let her tell her story because you're going to be blown away by her story. But we always want to give voice, and that's why you don't see us go anywhere without one of our girls next to us, so that you can really see that when they get the support, when they are seen, heard, and valued, they do become leaders. They do become pillars in their community, and they uplift the community.
That's awesome. I was just thinking she was your social media manager.
Oh, no. She is.
Kara's talking about Maya that she has in studio with her, who's going to share her story with us in just a minute.
Mm-hmm. And why don't we make that minute right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to hear it.
I'll let her introduce herself.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Kimaya Butler, but I currently go by Antute. So, like she said, I'm a board member of the Fine Design. Very excited. I'm only 23. I started this program when I was about 14.
Wow.
So I was a freshman in high school when I started the program. At the time, I was going through a lot of things. Anxiety, mother and daughter problems. My dad wasn't present in my life. You know, siblings, a single mother raising me and the three of my siblings. So it was a very hard time transitioning from middle school to high school, then going through
hard.
All these.
Calm home life.
Like you going through all these life changes, and at the time I needed somebody. So my friends were actually in the group before me. This is when they started at Napier Community Center. I was going to McGavick High School at the time. And it was like, yo, come on. We got these classes every Thursday. Mentors, like, just come on. So I came one Thursday, and I just kept going from that first time. And I think what it was for me was being in the same room full of girls that's going through exactly what you going through. You can ask Ms. Kara. I was kind of stuck up, didn't want to speak or didn't want to talk about my issues, but it took for the other people around me.
Share that.
Yeah.
Vulnerability heals.
And that also allows the vulnerable the power to speak, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like I really just needed it. At the time, like I said, I was going through strained relationship with my mother, and at times I felt like I couldn't come to my mother and talk, so I had Miss Karen them to talk to every week. So we did things like we went on field trips, we did a lot of icebreakers in the sessions, like we just did a lot of stuff in the community that we needed.
Where did you go on a field trip, for example?
Let's see, a couple of field trips. I remember one time we fed the homeless. We had got food. We fed the homeless. Like made food for them. We went to some games. We'd have been to hockey games. We'd have been to.
And she's missing going to Texas and Florida.
We went to Texas. We went to Florida. Texas was my first flight. Dallas.
Nice.
All right. First airplane ride.
DFW.
Right.
Yeah, that was my first ever flight.
I was born in Fort Worth. I know that flight well.
Yeah, it's so. Overall, the program has helped me become who I am today. At the time, I had lost a childhood friend around gun violence, you know, right there where we growing up in South Nashville. So I really needed someone. And like I said, I was struggling with anxiety. It was one point of time Ms. Kara told me, this is all in your mental. Like, I was having anxiety attacks every day. Like, from middle school to high school. And she had told me, like, if you think that you're going to have a panic attack, you're going to have one. So I was always comfortable with the fact I'm about to have a panic attack, and I'll have one. So it wasn't until she got in my head and was like, this is mental. Fast forward now, man, I'm in the music industry. I'm a music artist, entrepreneur, creative, pillar in my community. I got a podcast myself. It's Talks With Two, mental health podcast. And this all stemmed from not only being in the program, but in 2023, I was shot in both legs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
In 2023?
Yes, 2023.
Less than 2 years ago.
Yes, less than two years ago, I was shot in both legs, an innocent bystander. May I add, and that really did something to me mentally, physically, and emotionally. Physically, as you can see, I'm fine, but mentally, I was really just going through it. I didn't want to come out in public spaces no more. I'm in the music industry, and I was doing music at the time, so imagine doing my passion and then something like that happens to you. You can only imagine all the things that I had went through. I had developed PTSD. I got shot in June 2nd, 2023, so the next month was 4th of July, so it's fireworks, and I'm all...
Yeah, fireworks,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, and fine. Actually, just helped me go through that process to be able to process my emotions and let me know that it's okay. I had difficult, like, with my mental, like, a lot of people on the support was like, you can feel this way. And then Ms. Kara was like, it's okay to cry. Because for the first maybe like 2-3 weeks, I didn't cry about it because I was trying to be so strong. Like, I was just trying to be happy that I was alive and stuff because I watched people that I'm close to die, you know, from getting shot after. So I dealt with survivor's guilt. You know, and like fast forward, I really just let that moment, it was either the moment was going to make or break me. So at the time, I had became a board member. I had just became a board member like a month before I got shot. And at that point, now I see my purpose. Like I'm meant to be here. I go and talk to the schools. Just
and
really
your board members don't just show up at the meetings, do they?
Actually, a big part of how we formulate our programs, and she is, I mean, she's being humble. We're talking about somebody whose music has touched millions of people. She's known for her meditation music and her.
We're gonna share all that with our folks on our social and on our website, definitely.
Yeah.
We've got our last break right now, but when we come back, I want to hear about future. What's next, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Folks, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. We'll be right back. WQKR.
Hey, hey, it's Lonesome Lee for D-Legion Bar and Grill in Franklin, Kentucky. I eat there a lot, and if you're looking for awesome Mexican food, great burgers, and so much more, look no further than D-Legion Bar and Grill. While you're there on the weekends, you can enjoy great live music, and don't forget, they have bingo. Check this out. If you mention you heard this commercial on WQKR, you'll get 10% off your meal. That's D-Legion Bar and Grill, located at 3478 Nashville Road in Franklin, Kentucky. Or you can order takeout by calling 270-776-9998. That's 270-776-9998. Eli.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000-plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fit-tacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
When your family member or loved one passes, it's one of the most difficult times of your life. But in spite of your grief, sometimes decisions have to be made. Sellers Family Heritage, 610 North Broadway in Portland, is there to help and support you when you need it most. Sellers offers a range of professional services to suit your family's wishes and requirements. You can count on them to help you plan a personal, lasting tribute to your loved one. And with their years of experience, they'll carefully guide you through the many decisions that must be made during this challenging time. Sellers Family Heritage, 610 North Broadway in Portland, serving your family like their own. Do you have friends looking for a new apartment or a family planning a move to Middle Tennessee? Help them find their new home at Sage North, a new luxury apartment community in White House, and you'll receive a $250 Visa gift card on us. Sage North is an all-new resort-style apartment community just 30 minutes north of Nashville in the charming town of White House, near exit 108 of I-65. Small-town charm, but convenient to big-city shopping, entertainment, and much more. So, if you know someone looking for that perfect apartment home, encourage them to schedule their tour today and remind them when they go, mention your name when they sign their lease, and that $250 Visa gift card will be headed your way. Everybody wins. They get that beautiful new apartment home, and you get your free Visa gift card. Find out more online by visiting livesagenorth.com or visiting in person at Sage North in beautiful and charming White House, just minutes from exit 108 of I-65 in White House.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition with Len and Michelle. And we're speaking with Kara James and her entourage from The Fine Design. And the question I wanted to end the show with was what's next? Obviously, it's growing. Obviously, you've got a need. You're in two schools, and you said you got a 21-school waiting list.
We do.
So where do you see the future of The Fine Design going?
Oh, well, I mean, the goal, and when Sharice and I started this, was always to scale this program. Every girl should have an opportunity to have a safe space, every girl. So we did some radical dreaming as an organization about 2 years ago. So we're looking not only to scale and the capacity of having this program at different schools, but also expanding our personal development efforts for teachers. So currently we have a pilot project that we're running called the Restore Ed Project. And after the two shootings, we were already having it in the making because we have a component of our program that focuses on personal and professional development for educators. But we wanted to launch this in response to that. About 48 teachers, I believe was the count of Antioch teachers, did not report back or called out after the shooting. And it's personal to me.
That's where you went to high school.
Yeah. I was actually the first graduating class from that building in 98. And so it was personal. So we are starting with partnering with the school system and the Black Teacher Leadership and Sustainability Institute, in which we're going to do a full day event of just healing, Afrocentric healing, where they can come in and get meditation, sound baths. And we do have non-BIPOC teachers that are also wanting this service, so we're looking at that at the future. But we want to start with them. They're navigating a political climate that doesn't see them. They're navigating the response to the second shooting in Nashville in less than 2 years, and they navigate racism often. So we wanted to make sure there was not a lot of services that are SEL specific for a teacher through an Afrocentric Black lens. And so we wanted to make sure we held space for them to be able to reflect and just like, so we're really looking for support for these teachers. We want not only to support them, but we have a community day next Saturday where people can come in and help create the space and pack wellness bag for 40 teachers as we respond to their needs as well.
How can we become part of that? How can people help? How can people get involved? What can we tell people to do?
Yes, please go to our social medias, Fine Design, and all of our social medias. We need volunteers. We're looking for 100 volunteers to come out next Saturday, March 15th, to help to create the space, to help pack bags for the teachers. We are going to have mental health specialists there, therapists there. We're going to have a DJ next week. The actual event for the teachers is on the 25th, so we need volunteers both on the 15th to help create the space and also the 25th. But we want to really show them support like we did. We were there for our students as a result of the traumatic shooting that happened a couple of weeks ago. But we got to hold space for our teachers. It is overwhelming data that when Black teachers are healthy and well, their students are. They have better academics. Sure, they have better well-being. Absolutely. We talked about representation. So we got to do a better job in supporting these teachers. And so we ask the community, come out and let's show love.
So where and what time is that on? March 15th.
Yeah, so
people want to collect or help pack wellness bags.
Yeah, so it starts at 9:30 a.m. at 2783 Smith Springs Road. We have partnered with an organization called Stronger Than My Father. If you go to our Instagram, you will be able to sign up to volunteer and get all the information. We have a wish list of items, so if you cannot come in person,
we want to definitely get
some items as well as donate. You can sponsor a teacher. So for example, you can sponsor a mental health stipend where it allows them for 6 sessions of therapy post this incident. So we have a ton of opportunity to get engaged. Y'all, it's time to show up for our teachers. Yes.
And people can get started just by heading on over to your social media, the Fine Design
social media. Instagram, our website, thefinedesign.org. This was a quick response. I mean, it's not normal, and we couldn't have a normal response to this. We have an urgent response. So we're asking people, we know it's last minute, but hey, if you are available on the 15th, come out. If not, please donate to the cause so we can make sure they have the services that they need.
Awesome.
See if I can sneak away.
Please.
Yeah, let's do it.
Basketball and volleyball season. This is the first Saturday. We don't have something for the kids. So
awesome. Please.
Maybe me and Lila, my 11-year-old daughter, could come.
Yes, please, please, please. Just sign up and you'll get all the information. Yeah.
Kara, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
You guys are doing great.
And can I shout out, I got a single coming out at midnight tonight. It's called Fix My Crown. That's why I got my crown on.
We're going to make sure to get that out.
Where will it go?
All platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. The link will be in my Instagram bio. And the upcoming music video with John Early Middle School Kids will be out next week.
And then spell your name for them so they know what to look up.
All right, you guys can find it at INTUTAI 1414 or Intute the Artist on all music platforms. Midnight at 12 o'clock.
All right.
It's my crown.
be there for the drop. That is awesome. Folks, that is just about wraps up our time for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to our guests for dropping by. We truly appreciate you. You got a powerful message, and we want to thank you for coming by. Let's see. Closing announcements before we go. Next week, Michelle will be back with the next installment in our series on women in minority-owned businesses with Jesse Canute of You and Me, Tennessee, right?
You, Me, and Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm off that week, but Michelle will be up. We do not have Triple Play Sports.
Well, we're also having Louis Matata.
Oh, and and Louis Mata from the Tennessee Mata. Immigration and Refugee Rights Coalition will also be with us next week. So that's going to be another good show. The Sumner County Democratic Party is having their annual reorganization on Saturday, March 29th. And doors open at 9:30 at the Sumner County Administration Building on Belvedere Drive. The Portland